Let's talk about last night's meeting. You approved an application by Skyline Liquor for a special designated liquor license, and this is something the city handles. Usually have at least one of these, upwards of several, depending on the time of year, right?
That's correct. We have, it seems like we do a lot of events in the springtime and early summer in North Platte, so there seems to be a few more of them at that time of year, but this one happens to be for a business after hour, or excuse me, a reception that they're having at First National Bank. I think it's later this.
For Skyline Liquor, and you just make sure everything is on the up and up and that they have good reputation, and they aren't main thing is not serving minors and haven't gotten in trouble for
complying with the liquor laws,
making everybody show their ID.
That's right.
So they're at least 21 years of age. And then we get into the thick part of it. You approved the mayor's appointment of James Connor to the Historic Preservation Commission.
That's correct. I always like to appreciate the folks who volunteer their time to any of the city committees, and Mr. O'Connor filled out the form and wanted to be part of the historic preservation. And so we, after some conversations, the group decided that they'd like to have him on the commission, and he's now appointed.
Do you get recommendations on these things from the various commissions?
Yes. Typically, what I do is I talk to the city staff that works with the commission or the or the group, and then I also talk to whoever the leader is normally and say, does this person seem like a good candidate to you? And sometimes there's multiple candidates, and it's oftentimes difficult to select who we should nominate, but in this case, it was easy. So we appreciate Mr. O'Connor's or Mr. Connor's service.
And then approve the mayor's appointment of Tammy Kashke to the Board of Adjustment. And just remind people what the Board of Adjustment deals with.
The Board of Adjustment is kind of like the last court in the land when it comes to zoning issues. And that's where people often go to, if they want to do something, build something that is not in line with the zoning in their area. But occasionally there's some extenuating circumstances, and so they go to the Board of Adjustment to have that approved. And sometimes the city has annexed various pieces over the years, and we've inherited lot lines that don't necessarily conform to what the city would normally have, and houses were built closer to lot lines 80 years ago when something wasn't part of the city. And so when people want to put up fences and things like that in those scenarios, you have to give that to the Board of Adjustment to sort of put some logic and reason behind it, rather than just saying, no, you can't do it. Well, when you have something that was not standard to start with, you have to have some leeway, and it's the Board of Adjustment that makes those decisions.
And she was appointed as an alternate member. When would she be needed then, if somebody was sick or
there are, well, yeah, it could be anything, sick, on vacation. The Board of Adjustment doesn't have a regular meeting schedule. They meet as needed or as requested, and typically they meet about once every quarter, although it's probably not every quarter. It averages every quarter, but it's probably not every quarter exactly. And the reason there's an alternate is because it's not a set schedule. It's not uncommon for a couple of the members to be unable to meet at the appointed time, and so then they call the alternate in.
All righty. And approve an updated North Platte Public Transit Service contract with Great Plains Health.
That's right. Great Plains Health has a contract with Public Transit Service to transport patients home. From time to time, they will actually go out and get people for appointments from their residents, bring them into the appointment. Most of the time, patients schedule all that themselves. But once in a while, there's some extenuating circumstances, and the hospital has to get involved to get the patient there. And it's not uncommon for us to deliver people back to their home, particularly if they're in a car wreck and their car is destroyed or something like that. They may need a ride home, and that's how we provide that.
So it's basically an agreement between North Platte Public Transit to help them when they need
transport. That's correct. And the hospital pays for it rather than the patient. So
you don't have people leaving the hospital and driving all over town to return people to home.
So yes, that's correct.
You just call the public transit and they pick them up, and they're well taken care of. That's good. On the regular agenda, adopt a resolution accepting Sustainable Beef's verification of its payroll requirement and declaring SB's obligation to repay the Quality Growth Fund loan forgiven and cancel SB's corresponding promissory note.
Gary Pearson did a nice job last night of standing up in the council, sort of reminding everybody what this and number three, which has to do with another part of the same loan, had to do with. And as part of the recruitment of Sustainable Beef to get them to come here, they had requested Quality Growth Fund, or what we call LB 840 money. And the LB 840 money in North Platte is collected as a small percentage of the sales tax. Once the sales tax reaches a certain levy collected over time, then it starts feeding into the into the Quality Growth Fund, to a maximum of about $650,000 a year or something to that effect. I forget the exact number, but it's approximately that amount of money. This allows the community then, with the LB 840 committee, to sit and receive applications for assistance in getting businesses going. And there's, I would say on average, there's a couple applications a year for people. And sometimes they're just requesting a grant, and sometimes they're requesting a loan, and occasionally it's a forgivable loan. In the case of Sustainable Beef, once they reached $20 million in annual payroll, they were eligible for a forgivable loan. And they had reached that. They provided the city with the appropriate documentation. And so last night, the council acted and forgave the loan from the LB 840 funds.
That's great. And then the other one with that is repaying, declaring their obligation to repay the Northwestern Energy Economic Development Fund loan forgiven and cancel their promissory note connected with that.
Same process. The Northwestern Energy, there's a very small percentage of everyone's bill that goes into an economic development fund, and the city maintains that money as well. And so there was a $500,000 granted out of each of those funds for the same purpose, totaling $1 million. So they were both forgiven. It's, by those two actions, they were both forgiven.
All right. You were authorized to sign all necessary documents with Kidwell for door access and camera system upgrades.
Correct. Items 4, 5, and 6 all sort of have to do with the same scenario. Across the city, we've had kind of somewhat disparate door card systems, and for the last several years have been trying to get them all onto the same system. Somewhat same with security cameras. And about a year and a half ago, the government came out with a list of cameras you shouldn't use because they can be infiltrated easily. And we had several of those, unfortunately. So we decided the best thing to do is to replace all this and get it all in the same system so that it's universally the same. We end up deciding the system that's proposed to go into the new rec center. That way, all the city structures will have the same cameras and the same door card systems, and they can be maintained universally in one location. And so this is the purchase of that system. Municipal Light and Water will be paying for a chunk of theirs right out of the gate, and then the city finances the difference in item number 6.
Okay. And then how much total payments? The initial payment's about $168,000. What's that going to add up to for the city?
The entire project is approximately $700,000.
Okay. So, but we expect this, once everything is upgraded, to be something that's in place for
years. This equipment will last 10 to 12 years.
Okay.
Likely the cameras, some of the cameras will have to be replaced. Camera life is usually 7 or 8 years, but the door lock mechanism should be good for, could be even 20 years in some cases.
Yeah, that's good. And you were accepted the lease proposal. You were authorized to sign all necessary documents regarding lease purchase financing with U.S. Bank Corp, Government Leasing and Finance.
For several years, the city has leased a new Bobcat for the Parks Department basically every year, and we pay for the lease for a year, and then we'd give it back to the vendor, and then we'd lease a new one the next year. And unfortunately, because everything is getting more expensive, the lease costs had gone up and up and up, and so we did a financial analysis on it, and it was a better deal, given that the life of a typical Bobcat is probably going to be 15 to 20 years.
Might as well buy one then.
We thought we might as well. It turned out that as long as it lasted up in the 13, 14 years, it was a better deal to just purchase it, pay it off over 7 years, and then we'd have years 8 through however long it lasts with no payment at all and the full use of it.
Okay.
So the council decided to go that way.
Okay. And so that was regarding the Bobcat. You purchased a Bobcat UW56 and an E60 R2 series compact excavator.
Yes. It's those little ones you see people driving around.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what will those be used for?
They're used primarily in the Parks Department and also in the cemetery.
Okay. For digging.
That's correct.
Okay. Gotcha.
Well, I'd say generally moving of earth. Okay. And anything mulched, all that sort of stuff.
Digging and then moving the dirt. Okay. Sounds good. And then you removed a couple of agenda items there that were on originally. Tell us about that.
We removed item number 8 because we need to do a little bit more research and how it relates to the tax increment financing in that area. That one will likely come back to the council in a couple weeks or possibly the first meeting in April.
Uh-huh.
And then item number 9 was removed at the request of the claimant.
Okay. And that was a claim from Sewer Enterprises relating to sewer charges at 1921 West A Street in North Platte. And it's possible that that may reappear, or they may determine that they don't have enough of a claim on that.
Yeah, we'll see what the claimant decides to do.
Okay. All right. Anything else from the council meeting you wanted to mention?
That about wraps up the council meeting. It was probably about a 25-minute meeting somewhere in that vicinity. So
whipped right through.
Not one of the longer ones we've had, that's for sure.
Not the hot-button topics stuff.
That's right. Last week, though, I'd had the opportunity, myself and Councilman Reeker had the opportunity to attend the League of Municipalities meeting in Lincoln. They have a winter and a fall conference, and I try to always attend the winter one since it tends to have more things for the public officials.
Mm-hmm.
The fall one tends to be more towards the folks that run the city, like the city administrator and that sort of thing. But one of the most interesting presentations was a presentation on a brain drain in Nebraska, and you hear about brain drain all the time. And it's basically
graduates leaving the state.
Leaving the state, yeah. And there were some actual statistics. And the lady that does this presentation, she's at UNO and has been there for many years. And this is one of the main things she studies is demographics in Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
And her presentation is fantastic. If you've ever heard Josie Schaefer, I believe it's. I know it's Josie. Can't remember if it's Schaefer or something like that. Anyway, she does a fantastic presenter. So should you get the opportunity to see this, I'd highly recommend attending it. The state's chamber, which I also had to attend, had the opportunity to attend one of their meetings last week, had a very similar presentation. It wasn't identical, but similar. And they both had the same conclusions. I don't want to ruin the punch, but one of the main reasons that we have a brain drain issue in Nebraska, and particularly for those people in the 29 to 36 area age group, is that many of those folks perceive that they might have a good job now, but they don't perceive that they have an opportunity to move up in the company.
No kidding.
That's one of the main issues. And they learned that through a LinkedIn poll of people who had actually left Nebraska, and they had about a little over 500 respondents.
And that was the main thing that kept coming up as a reason to leave.
83% of them said that was the reason they left.
Okay.
Yeah. There were other reasons. It wasn't the only reason, but that was the main reason that they left, is they didn't perceive that they had enough growth in their careers if they stayed in Nebraska.
Okay.
And obviously that's, you know, some careers, if you only have a couple jobs in Nebraska, you can do, and you would have to leave if you wanted to stay in that career. But there are lots of careers that you could continue to grow in Nebraska, and it just shows you something, how we need to think about in our state. We're trying to keep people here, trying to keep our kids in the area, or at least in the state. And we have to make sure that we support businesses that create jobs and that create growth. If we don't do that, people will continue to leave.
Mm-hmm.
The statistics we saw last week showed that Nebraska is just over 2 million people. We finally made it over 2 million people. We're just a little over 2 million people. But if we don't continue to figure out how to support growth of businesses and attract people from that growth and keep people here, our state will start shrinking again at some point.
Jobs, and jobs is the first thing, but good paying jobs sometimes aren't in abundance. And a lot of times I know, you know, people head east because they would get paid more for the same position. So
yeah,
that's something we fight out in Western Nebraska, right?
It's an interesting, they had that statistic as well during these presentations, and I'm going to approximate these numbers, so don't quote me on it, but annually there's about 3,600 people that leave, and I'm air quoting folks, you can't see me, but Western Nebraska, and they move to Eastern Nebraska for a job or a career.
Right.
This is not including students. Excuse me. And annually, there's about 3,200 people that leave the state for the reasons that we spoke about a minute ago.
Is that net loss, or is that just pure people leaving, not taking into account people moving to the state?
That is people leaving for the better job category, and that's people that are considered in this study high wage earners. So that's, I believe in the study was people that are 60,000 a year and above.
60,000, they start at 60,000 for high wage.
That's right, which probably really isn't a high wage when you think about the what inflation has done to us the last few years. But
yeah,
majority of the folks that are in that 3,200 are actually above 100,000, but they went from 60 up, according to the presenters. But think about that, how much capability, how much revenue, how much money that is leaving our state every year. So Western Nebraska loses 3,600 people approximately annually to go to the east end of the state, and 3,200 people leave mostly the east end of the state to go to somewhere else. And in a state of 2 million people, I mean, that's not a huge percentage of the people. But when it's your high wage earners and arguably some of the most capable people in the state.
Well, in the tax base, too. And, that's part of it, too. The higher wage earners pay more taxes.
Right, right. And, of course, you can make a lot of statistics, and you have to keep in mind that all that could change in a couple years. The good news is that it's actually getting better. It was worse a few years ago, and that's the good news in that message. But it was very interesting, and I think the 6-1 region presentations that are coming across the state, the governor's groups and the different areas that are working on economic development issues, I think they will be sharing those presentations in some of their meetings in the next few months. And so if you get the opportunity to attend, I highly recommend it. It's very interesting, particularly if you're a business owner. You need to be thinking about this stuff as you're hiring folks.
Of course, you know, I think North Platte and the region's doing a good job just, you know, every time I talk to Gary Pearson, just attracting, just working night and day basically to attract new jobs that need employers to the area. But connected with that is the housing, too. And we're on a good path, it sounds like. We're creating more housing because you can't – jobs will do you no good if you don't have the housing to go with it. Yeah. So,
well, I talk all the time about almost every speech I give that has anything to do with development. I mention the three main things. You have to have jobs, but to have jobs, you have to have houses. And to fill the houses, you need the people, and the people need something to do. So you need the jobs, you need the houses, and you need something to do. So if your community doesn't have amenities, you're not going to attract the people. If your community doesn't have homes, you won't attract the people. If your community doesn't have jobs, you won't attract the people. So you got to have all three. You got to be working on all three at the same time, or your community won't be
restaurants
successful.
Restaurants and entertainment are biggies for sure, and attracting sports events, which I know the city and Visit North Platte do an excellent job of getting people to you know, making North Platte attract these bigger events, softball, baseball, whatever it is. And the DNN is full almost every weekend with tournaments of various sorts. So.
That's right, and we have to support them as a community. We have to support all these things, even if they're things that you might not normally attend or might not have of great interest in. It's a good idea to get out there and support those. And speaking of events, one of the things that's going on in the community this year and communities across the nation is the 250-year celebration of the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
Yes.
250 years.
As the city, are we in the planning stages, or what we're going to do?
Well, we, the city, put together a group, then we met, and I think it's been about 3 weeks ago now, and I had thought, my idea was originally that we should have this sort of week of celebrations where we have different things going on at different times during the week, and it would, you know, right around the 4th of July, that would be a great thing. I quickly had to give up on that idea, because what I learned is people, different organizations across the community have been planning events all throughout the year.
They have their own events.
They have their, and which is fantastic.
That's great.
I'm not arguing one way or the other, but
right.
Beginning in around the 1st of May, we're going to have events off and on probably through the middle of October, mm-hmm. celebrating the 250-year 250 years of the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
We then decided the best thing that we could do is put together a calendar. So Visit North Platte volunteered to host the calendar on their website.
Okay.
And the city will have a link to off the city's website to that calendar, as will probably many other websites. And this would be a great place for people to go. If you're wondering what's going on for the 250-year celebration,
uh-huh.
you'll be able to go to this calendar, and hopefully we'll get every event listed that's going on in North Platte and Lincoln County in general on that calendar, so
not
people
just
can
city
know.
Promoted stuff. It's just everybody yeah. that submits
right.
an event that they have going on will get on the calendar, so people know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's the 50-year anniversary of the Lincoln County Historical Museum, so they're doing some things. We've got some folks working on an enormous firework show. Hopefully, it will be on July 4th. And we have the Daughters of the American Revolution working on various events, as well as the Sons of the American Revolution. I don't want to spoil anyone's thunder, so I'm not going to tell you what all their plans are, but they all have different things that they're looking at, as well as many other community groups across the area.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to make sure that the locals have the opportunity to take advantage of all those events, because, I mean, you and I both lived through the 200-year celebration.
Yep.
And we're living through the 250-year, and we probably won't make the 300-year.
Don't anticipate. Yeah.
It would be great, but we probably won't.
50 years, but,
yeah, probably not. Yeah. So, anyway, so we need to get out there and celebrate this one. And I thought the best way the city could contribute is to, in fact, help maintain that calendar. So if you want to know how to get on the calendar, reach out to Visit North Platte, or you're welcome to reach out to the mayor's office, and we'll collect your information and make sure your event gets on the calendar.
Okay. There you go, and there'll be ample opportunities for people to pick. There's going to be enough going on. You can pick and choose what you want to do throughout the summer, and I'm sure right around July 4th will be heaviest probably for things going on.
That's for sure, and there's so many things going on across the country. I mean, you'll be able to be – there's replicas of the Liberty Bell that are going to be around. I mean, there'll be all sorts of interesting things going on this year that – many of us.
Well, you know, with President Trump in office, he never goes halfway on anything. It's going to be a big, when we celebrate something, it'll be the best it can be. It'll be something to behold. So
I think it will be quite an amazing year from the celebratory perspective.
Yeah.
Yep. Speaking of that, if you have the opportunity, please take a moment and pray for our troops that are in harm's way.
Yeah.
Obviously, a lot of difficulty going on in the Middle East this week. And take a moment and pray for those folks
yes.
that are in danger and that are out there to protect all of us.
Yes, our troops, and then the people of Iran in that area too. We could not, it's hard to relate to something like that happening in our country, where somebody bombs us and takes out our leaders, and then we're left with, what are we going to do now? You know, have to start from scratch, basically.
Yeah, it's a situation that we have to pray will end up being better than it was when it started. If you look at the history of Iran, it's only in the last 50 years or so has it become the country that it was
right.
3 weeks ago.
So radical.
Prior to that, it was not that way at all.
Right.
So we'll have to, well, hopefully they'll be, the people of Iran will be able mm-hmm. to come back to something that's a little more moderate and more mm-hmm. reasonable and allows them to have a better lifestyle.
Yep. And we have a new roller coaster. Tell us about that.
That's right. We have a new roller coaster at the Cody Park Rides. It was installed last fall and early winter.
Mm-hmm.
And it will open on Memorial Day weekend. We're
very appropriate.
Yes, talking about having a a drawing or a lottery or something for who gets to take the first rides on it. And don't worry, it's been appropriately tested.
I think you ought to take the... Sure.
Well, it's not really an adult-sized thing,
oh,
so
okay.
I'd have to sort of strap
okay.
myself to it. It probably wouldn't be a real good
idea.
But okay. we'll be watch for announcements on the city website, because we'll be doing something special for that first weekend.
Okay. We'll wait that. Mayor, thanks for coming in, talking about the council meeting and some other good things at the end, and enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll have you in what?
About two weeks. It'll be St. Patrick's Day.
Two weeks.
Well, excuse me. It'll be the day after St. Patrick's Day when I see you.
The 8th, which is good.
18th.
The 18th, yes. We're still in early March, yes. That's right.
That's right.
That's right. All right.
Corey's on some cold medicine today, folks.
Yeah, so I'm not operating at peak efficiency. I had that
problem last night. I started the meeting and forgot to do the roll call, so that cold medicine will get you.
That makes me feel a little better. You know, even the mayor wasn't quite with it, 100%.
That's right. You have a great day, Corey. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks. That's Mayor Kelleher.